As you have heard already this scripture, it's in Matthew chapter 4, starting at verse 18. Matthew 4, starting at verse 18. Theme for the cadet program, very well put, very well presented as well. Matthew chapter 4, page 1500 in the Bible. Matthew 4, starting at verse 18. A familiar story to many of us, and it's presented in all of the Gospels, the story about Jesus calling his first disciples. Verse 18, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. So the text there comes in 19, come and follow me, Jesus says, and I will make you fishers of men. Part of the danger or the trouble in you talk about fishing is that anybody who likes fishing and are always glad to talk about it. I'm tempted to cast this, but I don't think I'd ever be invited back, but it does work. I'm a little smarter than Rick. I took the hooks off. On there you see a little fish, a lure, right? And a rod and reel. This is not the kind of fishing that Jesus was doing or the disciples were doing when Jesus came. They were using a net. And he had his net there. I have a net here too, just to remind you of it. But the idea of the nets and the fishing was to catch the fish in the net. And at times when you're fishing, if you get a really good bite and you don't use your net, you might lose the fish and it'll break your line. The nets that they were using was more of a cast net, which was probably at least 10 feet wide, and you'd draw it in a circle and over your arm and then throw it, and it had weights on the end, so it would sink like a bag over a group of fish, and then you'd pull it and snug it together and pull it in. And so the disciples were doing and were used to doing the fishing and the nets. Part of what I want to say about this is one of the things I learned in cadets had become extremely helpful to me in fishing. Because somehow I had to get that thing hung onto the line so it would hold on. And I had to learn how to tie knots. And one of the merit badges we did was made a board with knot tying. And when you bring the boat up to the dock, you got to be able to use a clove hitch or another hook as well in order to keep the boat from floating away. And so you need to learn your knot tying. And cadets have learned a lot of valuable skills. And there are many more merit badges and skills today in cadets than when I was a cadet. We learned to start fires and put them out and do a few things and build things and did some hiking badges and did camporee, and that were all very valuable things. We learned how to do things that were useful for our lives. But one of the things that's an essential part of it in fishing is you need somebody to teach you. You need somebody to show you. When I first started fishing, I'd go out to the lake and go out in the boat or else off a pier and just throw a line in and hope something would find it. But that isn't how you're going to be a successful fisherman. You need a trainer. You need a teacher. Somebody to teach you the right way. Somebody to say, follow me. I'll teach you how to fish. Right. And so there have been those wonderful folks that have been able to help us and learn how to fish. And I'm not a great fisherman by any means, but it's still lots of fun. And I've done some good fishing. I just like to say I miss the ocean. For 11 years, we lived in Southern California, and we'd go out to Catalina or out in the ocean and go fishing. Went on a trip out of San Diego and caught a 45-pound bluefin tuna, the kind that you get in little metal cans of tuna fish. And so a lot of fun things, gone into northern Wisconsin and Michigan and used a propeller bait. Again, I took the hooks off to catch some northern as well as lots of bass and the buzz bait and all these others. Part of the idea of baits is something that will attract the fish, right? Something that'll draw the fish to come. And so we in our lives have to live in such a way that others look at our lives and are attracted to follow Jesus, right? Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Let your light shine before people, before men, that they may see your good work and give glory to your Father in heaven." In other words, you are a living example of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And so in being a fisher of men, we need to learn how to live and act in a way that will draw people to Christ. We're thankful for the ministry of cadets. We're thankful for GEMS, for the many activities and ministries of the church that teach us and help us to grow, and for the mentorship of teachers, school teachers, Sunday school, catechism teachers, cadet and GEM leaders, and others who along the line have been our model and example, and for that we give thanks and praise to God. In the passage of Matthew chapter 4, Jesus gives a great instruction and a command which is helpful and useful for all of life, for all of our years. He simply says, "Follow me. Follow me." And in following him for the next 3 years, these disciples and others were called to walk with Jesus, to listen to him, to watch him, to see his healing, to hear about the kingdom of God, to learn about how to care for and help others, and especially how to call sinners to God. And they began to learn and to realize what a great ministry it was to help and fish for men, for people. And so we're thankful for God's teaching. Jesus, by his example, taught the disciples, by following him, how to bear witness to God. First step and most important thing I can say to you today is simply that lesson of Scripture as Jesus calls each of us to follow him. To follow him means not simply to listen and learn a few ideas, get a little bit of a rule book, and say, okay, that's good, I can do it. But it means day by day, prayerfully, faithfully, trusting and following him as our leader and our guide. The most important decision you'll ever make in your life, more important than what school you're going to go to or what job you're going to do, more important than where you're going to live, or even, hold on a minute, more important than who you're going to marry, is who's going to be your Lord, who's going to be your Savior. Who are you committing your life to? And in a very real way, you either commit your heart and life to Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior, or you finally are committing your life to saying, I'll be my own God. I'll do it myself. I'll follow my own way and my own rules. And the Bible basically warns us that if a person does only what seems right to themselves, they end in the path of destruction. Jesus calls us to follow him. In order to follow him, we need to trust in him as our Savior. And Savior means that I need saving. Imagine, for example, that you're out fishing with Rick out in the boat, right? And you reach for the net and you miss and fall overboard. You need some help to get back in the boat. You don't want Rick to say, hey, have a good time. Enjoy the swim. Actually, I was out in a boat in California on the ocean one time, cruising out overnight to get to the fishing spot, and I got talking to the captain, and he said there were a bunch of guys who were drinking too much on the boat, and one of them fell off the back deck in the ocean, and his buddies were all laughing and laughing. Oh, how funny that was. And finally they said, hey, Captain, we lost Bill back there. He said, what? He had to turn the boat around, and because the wake of the boat at night is fluorescent, he could follow the wake back and found Bill laying in the water, holding his brew, laughing. And the captain realized, he said, if he had drowned, I'd lose my license. His friends would grieve because he had no sense of what was going on. He needed somebody to save him. And we need a Savior. Because if we simply live by our own effort, by our own whiff, by our own ideas, we're heading in the wrong path. And you see that in the news and in the world around us today about the many people who are heading to destruction in one way or another. And they need to find a Savior. And the one Savior who can save all mankind is the Lord Jesus Christ. And in order to save us, he had to deliver us from the power, the corruption of slavery, of sin. And that's why the Ten Commandments begins with that too. I brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. People don't like to see that or recognize and say, but if I'm just doing my own thing, I've become a slave of sin. We need a Savior, Jesus, who paid the price to redeem, to ransom, to rescue our souls, to bring us home to God. He is also our Lord. Our Lord. And when you say, Jesus Christ is my Lord, you are saying, he's the boss, he's the president, he's the king. He is the one who has authority over my life. I yield to him. I yield my will, my heart, my desire to follow Jesus Christ. And so the commitment, I said, is the most important thing to learn is to follow Jesus as your Savior and Lord. And that's something you need to continue to do all of your life. All of your life. Not long ago, a friend of mine named Cliff passed away. Cliff was a part of a Bible study, and Cliff had an amazing way of talking to people. He'd go to the grocery store, and the checker would take everything. Is that it? You got everything? He said, I have one question for you. The checker would say, what's that? He said, did you go to church on Sunday? She said, well, yeah, I did. I went to church. He said, let me ask you one more. Do you have Jesus in your heart? Wherever Cliff went, he had the boldness to ask people. He told me he was online with an insurance agent on telephone from Omaha. And at the end of it, as that's all, Cliff, is anything else I can do? He said, yeah, I have a question for you. What's that? Did you go to church last Sunday? Do you have Jesus in your heart? Cliff was 101 years old, and people listened and heard him eagerly and willingly. Usually when people turn 100, they say, what is your secret of success? And he said, my secret of success is I gave my heart and life to Jesus Christ. And so, boys and cadets, girls and gems, you're not too young to make a decision and dedication of your heart to Christ. And you need to continue to make that decision till you're older than Cliff. By the way, Cliff is now rejoicing in heaven. He passed at the age of 102. Following Jesus, committing your life to follow Christ, and in our daily decisions of what we say, what we do, we are either committing ourselves to follow Jesus Christ or we're following something else. We're surrounded with news and advertising, with music and media, with television shows, and you know what they're saying to all of us? Follow me. Follow me. Follow me and do the drugs. Follow me and join the gang. Follow me and seek the glory and the wealth of rock and roll or of TV or the media instead of committing our hearts to follow Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. To have a personal friendship, a personal trust in Jesus. When the Bible says in John chapter 14, when we commit our hearts to Christ, the Father, God the Father, and I will come and make our home within you. And so we can talk about having Jesus in my heart. We can talk about God living in my heart or having the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And what that means is day by day as we follow Jesus, God guides and directs us. And we make decisions to listen to him, or we make decisions not to listen to him. And the Bible says, way back from Psalm 34, which I read before, was the idea of success in life, being fulfilled, of having a destiny that's eternal, of being safe, is walking with Jesus Christ and following him day by day. So we are called to serve and obey. Serve and obey. The old song said, trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Christ works within us to build our faith. Just as we learn to follow him, he teaches us how to live, how to act, how to walk, how to set our values in our heart. The commandments God gives us are not to ruin our lives and destroy our fun, but they're to protect us from trouble and harm and danger and help us to express our love for God and others. The Holy Spirit lives within us to teach us how to love God, how to worship him, how to obey, how to trust. And Jesus teaches us that great commandment of how to express our love to God and to serve and care for other people. Christ calls us to be fishers of men, to reach out for other people. And that means to have an action, a life, a value that draws others to us. I remember years back, my son was looking for a job, and a friend from church got him an opportunity and a job and started working with this company. And after about 3 months, his boss called him into the office and he said, "Where'd that young man come from?" And he said, "Well, he's a kid from my church. I know his family." He said, "You got any more kids from your church that need a job?" Wonder why he did that. Because he saw something in his life that said, this is the kind of people we want. This is the kind of people we can trust. These are the kind of people that we can work with. And so we want to follow Jesus, and it causes us to see that other people notice and are attracted and desire and see positive things in us. If they see you as a kind and caring person, if they see you as a person who's sensitive to the needs of others, if they see you as a person who controls your tongue and doesn't use the language that's spread around us, they learn to listen and watch and pay attention. And if you learn to talk about Jesus, if you learn to honor him, as Rick said too, if you learn to share with others' concern when they talk about their problems, if you say, "I'll pray for you, I'll lift you up in my prayer to God, or I can help you by turning your life around to Jesus Christ." Fishing lures. That's neat with a propeller on there, isn't it? I don't know if you can see it way back there, but this is a great one for catching good-sized bass or northern pike. Right. Floats along the surface of the water, and the propellers spin and make bubbles, and it drives them nuts. So they have to come and hit it. And when the hooks are on there, they get hooked. Right. If we live in a way that serves and honors Jesus Christ, people see, and it makes a difference, and they notice, and life works well, and it's a blessing. There are many around us whose lives and stories are a reminder of the road not to go, of things we shouldn't do. When we follow and listen to the Word of God, we study the Word. Psalm says, "Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against God." It reminds us of living and acting in a way that we are good, faithful followers of Jesus. If you read the Gospels and you know the stories, even up to the time of the cross, when Jesus died on the cross, he was constantly working and training those disciples, because sometimes they were eager, willing followers, and sometimes they were a great disappointment. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was calling them to follow and pray with him, and he went off to pray and they went to sleep. Jesus warned Peter, "Satan's going to tempt you." Peter said, "No, Lord, I'll never leave you. I'll never turn from following you." And yet that night, three times, he denied his Lord. So he needed to be restored to his following, to walk in with Jesus, to be healed and forgiven of the sins and the brokenness of his life. Jesus calls us to follow him. Probably as good a summary of the message of what God wants in your life and mine is that we would be followers of Christ. The Bible says at the end of time, when you stand before God in heaven, he's either going to say, "I know you," or "I don't know you." And so if you know Jesus, if you believe in him, if you get hooked on Jesus by giving him your heart and life, you will belong to Jesus forever. And as Psalm 103 said, share all the benefits of the forgiveness and love of Christ. Hooked on Christ is a good thing. Be a follower of Jesus, and he will lead you in life everlasting. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we praise you for your grace and love and mercy. We pray you will guide these young men and young ladies in our church, as well as help all of us, Lord, to learn day by day what it means to be a follower of Christ. Lord, we confess that many times we go the wrong way, we go our own way, or we don't listen and understand. We need your help to guide us in the right direction, to follow you in a path of life. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your patience, your faithfulness and goodness in teaching us. Continue to be our teacher and Savior and guide. Help us to own you, to follow you as our Lord and Savior. In the precious name of Jesus, amen.